Thank you, Robin, for playing that for us today. Well, we've been talking the last few weeks, and this is our last one in our series. We've been talking about walk. Yeah, I caught you off guard. I know, David, so we skipped ahead a little bit here. And we've been talking about the subject of walk. And as we've talked about this subject, we've also mentioned that we can interchange these words in the scripture, or the word walk, we can interchange them with the word live. And as we've gone through the different passages and the different messages on this, and we talked about the fact that we are called upon to live in his presence. God says, walk before me and be blameless. Live in my presence, God has said to us. And then we talked about the fact that we are to live up to our name, the names that we've been given. We're to walk worthy of the calling for which we've been called, and that's as believers in Christ. We're told that we're to live in love, and to live in love is to live actively and compassionately towards those around us. And then last week we talked about live in the light. And this week we want to come to the next one that's in our text. If you want to turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, and we'll just continue to follow the text here. And we have one more that it talks about us, how we ought to walk or how we ought to live as believers in this world. Ephesians chapter 5, and starting at verse 15. If you have a Bible, follow along. If not, it'll be on the screen, and I'll read it. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation or excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Reading that far today. So today we're going to talk about walk circumspectly. I like that word. You like that word? Circumspectly. Sounds very important. Sounds a very high word, doesn't it? Circumspectly. Well, circumspectly really means to be watchful. That's what it means. To be watchful or to be careful. To look about. In other words, if you're walking somewhere, to look about. That's what it means to be circumspect, to be wary, to be cautious. That's what circumspect actually means. There are several ways that this word has been illustrated. One of our teachers in Bible school, he always had this great illustration of this word circumspect. He was from Ireland. His name was Bob Dowie. I know many here have met him in the past, but Bob Dowie used to tell the story about the word circumspect. He said where he lived in Ireland, a lot of the properties and homes were surrounded by stone walls. And all these stone walls went around all the properties, all the homes. And then at night, feral cats would seem to prowl and walk along these fences. And so all the cats would get together and meet at night and fight and keep everybody awake all night. So all the homeowners are getting pretty disgusted with this whole situation. These cats, you know, wandering around and fighting all night. And so they came up with an idea. So what they did, the homeowners went out and they leveled off the tops of their stone walls. And they laid a layer of concrete. And in the concrete, they put shards of glass all in the top of the wall. And so, of course, the next night, as the cats began to prowl, it was, the cats falling off of the off of the wall. They step on this glass. But it wasn't too long before the cats started to learn how to walk circumspectly. And so then the cats started to figure out, I need to put my paw here and here and here, you know. And they learned to walk circumspectly. They were learned to watch carefully. They walked carefully. They were accurate. The original word circumspect actually means accurate, to be accurate or to be exact. And so these cats had to place their feet just exactly in the right place so they wouldn't get caught and get thrown off the fence. There's another illustration that I've recently come across of the word circumspect. I don't know how many of you walk around the French Basin Trail in Annapolis Royal, but in the last few months you've had to learn to walk circumspectly. If you didn't want to mess up your good walking shoes, you learned to walk very carefully around that trail, right? And at least I did. I didn't want to take that stuff home with me. But I've got another illustration I think is going to help us to define this word and to define this concept. I'd like to ask my lovely assistants to come up here now and give me a hand. They're lovely, aren't they? So they're going to give us a little hand here. And we're going to do an illustration here that's going to help us to understand maybe a little more this concept of walking circumspectly. I'm going to use the vision and the illustration this morning of a minefield. Okay? And so we're going to use the concept of a minefield to illustrate this concept of walking circumspectly. So here we go. There we go. And actually, I have asked Dr. Bonington to be here this morning to help with any casualties that might occur. Now what I need is a volunteer. So I need a volunteer. I'm not joking. I need a volunteer. I need someone to come and help us out with this little illustration.
Yeah, I will.
Okay. Come right up here. Okay. So.
This one's alive.
Okay, Trevor. Now, Trevor, your goal, this is a minefield. Your goal is to make it across to the other side without getting blowed up. No. This is a minefield. And so you got 100 and some odd other troops here that are relying on you to clear this minefield to make sure that they can safely pass over it behind you. So what we want you to do is to find out where the right path in this minefield is without getting blown up. Okay? So you need to walk circumspectly and see if you can find a good path through this field without Dr. Bonington have to do emergency surgery.
Trevor, I'm not coming in after you.
So what's on the outside, water?
Well, I'm here. Okay, so Trevor, let's just see if you can find a path. And see if you can walk circumspectly across this minefield. No? No?
Uh-huh. That's poop. Hey. Hey. That was close.
Don't go too far, Trevor. Don't go too far. Just sit right there. Now, I need another volunteer. Trevor didn't quite make it, so I need somebody else to come up and maybe give it a little try. Have anybody brave enough to come and do this? Okay. So we'll find it. See if you can find a good path across here. Uh-huh. Okay, get somebody else? Somebody else want to try? I think the sergeant major should try it, actually. Sergeant major? Since he's experienced in this, and it doesn't look... He doesn't look like he got blowed up too many times. Circumspectly.
Can I borrow my band?
Actually, when we did this in the military, I had to be on my hands and knees.
Okay. Well, he was watching. Okay. Okay. Blair?
Normally you want to get that now? Private in first.
Yeah. Okay. Now what I'm going to do now is that my lovely assistants are going to come, and they actually have a map. And what they're going to do, over top of this minefield, the other way around, they're going to lay the map on top of this minefield. As soon as they get it untwisted. Now, we just have to make sure we get it lined up. So, okay, right there on that line there, Blair. Yep. And right on SS. There you go. Now, Trevor, come and walk circumspectly through the minefield again.
Hey, that's a hill.
Yeah. Okay, Bob, since Dr. Bonington has done miraculous surgery here and healed Bob up, he's actually able to navigate this now. Okay.
You want me to blow up?
No. I give you a hint of where the best places are. There you go.
Yeah, but I'm about as graceful as a wounded water
bottle. There we go. Okay. Thank you. Now we'll take it away. Anyways, perhaps you got my point a little bit. Portable minefield. It's a great new invention. Well, walk circumspectly. I hope that was just a fun little illustration to kind of help you envision what he's talking about here in this passage of Scripture. So to walk circumspectly is to walk carefully, is to walk accurately, because you had to be very accurate to get through that without getting blowed up. But even as I say that we need to walk circumspectly, that's not to say that we should live our lives in a timid fashion or with a sense of dread and apprehension in everything that we do. I don't want to give you that impression either. I want to remind you that there's not a demon in every closet or a calamity around every corner. It says here, just walk circumspectly or walk carefully and accurately. Live carefully, live accurately in this world. And then he says this: see that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. So walk wisely in this world. Wisdom allows us to live fully, to live to the full, yet avoid all the minds that would harm us, all the things that would hinder us in our lives. Perhaps you could live by this motto: live with unbridled caution. that work? Unbridled caution. Live to the full, but yet walk carefully in the world. It's interesting to me that Jesus, when he was in the Sermon on the Mount, he clearly told the crowds that there was a narrow path that would lead to life. A narrow path, he said, would lead to life. Look at this, Matthew chapter 7. Put this up on the screen here. Matthew chapter 7. And it reminds us this. It says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it." I want to remind you today that the broad road that Jesus talked about here is full of landmines. That's what I want you to kind of picture. The narrow way is actually the path of safety through it. Just as we laid that map on top of our minefield up here that showed clearly the way through that minefield, that's what the narrow road is. On top of this broad way that Jesus talked about was also this narrow way, was the path of safety through it. And as we travel this path, we should warn those who have strayed off this path and warn them of the danger that's out there and the security that is found in the right path, the narrow path that's on top there. When we talk about salvation, I've told you this before, and I think this is the greatest definition of salvation that I've ever come across. Salvation is primarily to rescue from loss. So as we come to Christ, we are rescued from loss. And as we come to Jesus, he rescues us from the consequences and the penalties of sin. And that's a wonderful thing for each of us to experience here today, to be rescued from loss. But I also like this part of the definition. Salvation is to rescue from loss or misapplication. It's a sad reality that many people today will reject Jesus. They say, "Well, that's not for me," or "I'm not interested in that," or "I don't need that in my life." Many people will give us that answer. But it's equally difficult to watch those who wander aimlessly through the minefields, getting blown up. And it happens to them over and over and over again. And that's sad to me, because their life has not only been lost, but misapplied in many ways. So our careful walk, or the manner of our life, the way that we live our life, ought to help others find the path that leads to life. The Apostle Paul says, "Follow me as," how does he qualify it? "I follow Christ." He said, "Follow me as I follow Christ." And there are times in our lives that we could say that. "Follow me. I'll show you the way. I'll show you the way through the minefield. I'll show you the way through to help you avoid the things that may destroy you." So then he says there, walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. And then he says the second thing. He says, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. You know, we all have the same amount of time, don't we? We all have 24 hours. We all have 1,440 minutes. We all have 86,400 seconds. We all have the same gift, the gift of time. And so what he's saying here is that this gift of time that we've been given, use it wisely. Quite often we hear people say, or we say it ourselves, "Boy, where did the time go?" Or "How time flies." And we all recognize that we are on a limited budget of time, each and every one of us. And so we need to learn to use our time wisely. That's why he says there, redeem or buy back the time. Use the time wisely that we've been given. So as we walk, as we live circumspectly, carefully and accurately, we're buying up the opportunities and the time. I remember seeing before there was a channel on the television. It was called the Comedy Channel. And you know what the title for the, or the tagline for that channel was? "Time well wasted." That's a waste of time, I'll tell you that. But "time well wasted" was their tagline that they put on there. But it says here to redeem the time, buy up the time, make most efficient use of your time as possible. He says, because the days are evil. There'll be many temptations for us in life to wander off the path. Maybe we see something nice over there on that Broadway, some nice flowers. And then we get over there and they're nothing but noxious weeds. You know, they look good at the time we get over there. You know, and that can happen to us. We can be lured away by promises of fun and pleasure and freedom that are found in the Broadway, but all too soon they turn out to just to be empty and you know, not what they seem to be. And then sometimes we'll get wandering off this path out into the Broadway, and then boom, it happens. Just like Trevor. Got boomed, didn't you? Got off the correct path, got off the narrow path onto the broad path. And that can happen to us sometimes in our lives. Sometimes when we get off the path and get onto the broad way, we find ourselves in a place where our moral resolve perhaps is weakened, or our ethical foundations begin to shake and even collapse, and our integrity comes into question. And then many will just walk by in those situations, wag their heads and say, isn't it a shame? Isn't it a shame what happened to him? You know? But walking circumspectly helps us to stay out of these minefields and stay on the path of safety. And so he says here, to walk circumspectly, we need to first of all redeem the time. And then the second thing that he talks about here, as he talks about walking circumspectly, is that we need to understand God's plan. Notice what he says there. He says, therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Okay? Understand God's plan as we walk circumspectly. In order to get somewhere, you have to know the way, right? And if you're going to go somewhere, you have to know the way to get there. So you get out a map and you chart the course and where you're trying to go. Now, I'll give you a piece of advice. Don't trust the GPS. Okay? I know some of you have had that experience, so have I. Don't trust that thing. Sometimes she doesn't know what she's talking about. I'll tell you that for sure. And we've been on some back roads and some logging trails that were supposed to be roads. And anyways, if you want to know the way to go, get out your map, chart your course. And we need to understand God's plan, God's will, and the route that we need to go. In John chapter 14, familiar verses, Jesus said to his disciples there, he said, you know where I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you're going, and how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And then the will of the Lord, we can understand God's plan. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, we read this verse. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing, it's not God's will, it's not in God's plan, that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So we could call this actually the general will of God. But he leaves the choice to us. He has given each one of us the gift of free will, where we can choose to follow or we can choose to reject his grace that he gives to us. Other elements of his general will would include his grace, his knowledge, and truth. The fact that we are called to be salt and light in the world and live a life worthy of our calling. Those things are called the general will of God. But for each individual believer, you and I who claim Christ and follow Christ, God has a specific path and a plan that is uniquely suited to who you are, to who we are. It's only you that can follow the path, and it's only you that can fulfill that destiny of that path. Verse that I pointed out last week, I want to point out to you again today. In Psalm 119, verse 105, it says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I want you to notice something about this verse, that illumination of our path is not by floodlight, but it's by lamplight. That's important when we're talking about the specific will of God for each and every believer. The will of God is not laid out by a floodlight, but rather it's laid out by a lamplight. God does not give us all the specifics at once and then let us loose. He doesn't do that for us. The steps of our path, even though we know the general way, the general will of God, but the steps of our path are specific, and they are lit by our lamp and revealed how? One step at a time. Your word is a lamp to my feet. And that's what it's saying. The word of God is a lamp to our feet to help us make the next step. Not all the broad way, the next step to follow his path. That's what we need to rely on each and every day. The specific will of God and the guidance that he will give us to make the next step for each and every day. And so to walk circumspectly, once again, is to redeem the time. It's to understand God's plan, rather. And then thirdly, I see in here, it's to become God's praise. To become his praise is part of walking circumspectly. Look at what it says there. It says, "Do not be drunk with wine, in which is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Become his praise in our lives as we walk circumspectly. Over and over again in the scriptures, I see the connection between praise and our witness, between praise and witness. One of my favorite verses, Psalm 40 verse 3 says, "And he has put a new song in my mouth, even praise to our God." And then what does it say? "Many will see it and fear and will trust in the Lord." Peter, writing to the believers, he said this, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." See, part of our walking circumspectly is that we become his praise and others will see it. I pointed out a few weeks ago when we were talking about walking worthy, perhaps one of the saddest verses in the scripture to me. It was a situation with Lot. And of course, the angels had come and they had warned that God was going to destroy the city of God, Sodom and Gomorrah, because of their wickedness. Of course, Abraham interceded on behalf of the city, but yet there was not enough repentance to spare the city. And then when Lot was told that God was going to destroy the city and to get his family and get out, it says he went to his son-in-laws and he warned his son-in-laws, "We got to get out of here because God is going to destroy this city." And the next verse is just so sad because it says, and he seemed to them as one that mocked. You know, because Lot hadn't been living a circumspect life. He had been sitting in the gate of the city. He had been spending his time in the broad way. And when he went to say, "God's judgment is coming," they laughed at him. "Yeah, right. Yeah, good one, Lot," you know. And he seemed to them as one that mocked. And if we get off that path, and we aren't his praise, then when we try to warn those who are on that broad way in danger of the mines, they'll just say, "Yeah, right." They'll laugh at us. So we need to be careful. Walk circumspectly, carefully and accurately in our lives. Not only keeps us safe, but it gives us the opportunity to rescue others from these minefields of life. I was once in that minefield. I was over there. I was in mortal danger. I was despairing even many times in my life of the wounds that were inflicted over there in that broad way, in that minefield. I got blowed up a few times and caused great grief and despair in my own life. But then one day, someone came along and gave me the help I needed and pulled me out of this broad way and says, "Here, come onto this path. This is the path to life." And rescued me from this. Put me on this path. I'm thankful for those who came and shared with me the truth of the gospel, the truth of the word of God, and got me out of that minefield, that place that was destroying me, and got me back on this path. The narrow path, though, as Jesus pointed out in Matthew 7, will have some troublesome places. Even as Bob walked across the right path, there were some troublesome places, weren't there, Bob? There were some hills, there were some valleys. You could stumble even in places there. But yet, even though there is troublesome places, we still know that it's our sure destination to heaven. This path, this narrow road that we're talking about, it's populated with those who have been rescued, those who have been redeemed from the minefields, but who still carry the scars of their experiences there. That defines many of us. We still carry the scars that were inflicted over there, but yet we're on this path. But now we're safe and secure with those who travel on this path. Walk circumspectly, we're told here. So as we walk, as we live our lives, as God wants us to do, we walk or we live in his presence. That's really the secret to the whole thing, is to live in the presence of God on a daily basis. To walk worthy, to live up to the name for which we've been called. To walk in love, to walk in light, to walk circumspectly, which means to walk in integrity and walk in truth. These are the challenges that are before us today. And my question is, will you accept these challenges today to walk as has been laid out in the scripture for us from Genesis through to Ephesians here as we've looked at these things? Are we willing to walk this way, to live this way, to be this example in this light in this world? Are we willing to accept these challenges today? The first thing, of course, is if you're walking on this broad path and you know the dangers that are out there, you've experienced the harm and the heartache and the casualties that occur out here in this broad row, I encourage you to come onto this narrow road and find this safety in Christ and this road that leads to life, eternal life. And there's many other people that are walking on this road, and they'll walk on this road with you to help you, encourage you. If that's what you need to do today, I encourage you to do that, to get off the broad way and to get on the narrow way. And then as believers, it's our challenge to not be lured into this broad way, but to stay focused and then to rescue those as we go along and help them to find the way. That's our challenge today as we finish this series on walk. We're going to pray together and then we're going to sing one song as we finish today, a song of challenge and invitation. So let's just pray together and then we'll sing this one song. Father, we thank you so much today, Lord, for the clarity of your word. Lord, your word is a lamp to our feet. It is a light to our path. Lord, the entrance of your word gives light. It gives understanding. It gives hope. And so, Father, we just pray, Lord, for each heart here, Lord, that you would just challenge them, Lord, and just encourage them, Lord, to find, Lord, this path. You are the way, you are the truth, and you are the life. Lord, help them to find that truth today. And we just ask, God, as your followers, as your people, Lord, that we would indeed live up to the name by which we've called. We would walk worthy. We would walk in love and light and integrity. Lord, challenge us with these things today. But Lord, more than that, Lord, give us the power and the ability by your Holy Spirit, Lord, to do it. And Lord, to be what we need to be. Lord, thank you, Lord, for all your blessings. Lord, we've just spent this time today thanking you, Lord, for all that you've done. Lord, we rejoice in your goodness. And we just ask, God, that you'll help us to go even from here, Lord, with a rejoicing heart today. And we ask your blessing on each one, Lord. And we're going to sing this song, Lord, of challenge and encouragement to our hearts. And we pray, God, that you'll speak to us and challenge us in the areas of our life that we need it. So we give you thanks for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen.